Good morning, everyone. My name is Vijay Chaganti. I'm a postdoc at Ohio State University. The presenting author was Andrea Levo, a graduate student, but she was not able to make it, so I'm presenting on behalf of her, and I'm somewhere in the last, my name. So today I'm going to talk about the effects of soil balancing, the research what we are doing at Ohio State University on soil balancing and its effects on soils, crops, and weeds in organic cropping systems, and I'm going to present some preliminary results on that research. So before I start, I just wanted to ask you guys a question. How many of you have heard the term of soil balancing? Wow, that's a pretty good number. So what is soil balancing? Soil balancing is just, it's a practice of adding different amendments to change or to achieve a desired or optimal basic cation ratios, saturation ratios, and BCSR is the more common term used. And a soil with such an optimal ratio is considered to be a balanced soil, and people think if that optimum ratio is not maintained, that's an unbalanced soil, right? So what is the theory of BCSR? It states that there should definitely be an optimal ratio of cations, more specifically calcium, magnesium, and potassium on the exchange sites of the soil. And if that ratio is not maintained, there could be a potential for yield reduction. So let's go into history of soil balancing. It's not a new concept. It's been there for almost like 100 years, and the concept was, and it was conceptualized in early 1900s by Oscar Leo. He was the one who suggested that there should be an optimal calcium to magnesium ratio for better plant growth. And later, it actually gained momentum in early 1930s and late 1930s and early 1940s. And William Albrecht, he's considered as a pioneer in doing this BCSR or soil balancing research, and he coined this term balanced soil. And from there on, Bear, Furman Bear from New Jersey and his co-worker, they worked on in 1940s, and they proposed this concept of ideal saturation ratio. And Graham and again Albrecht, through his Albrecht papers, he published that instead of having a specific ratio, there could be a range of that ideal ratios that could benefit the soil. And that, he called that as a balanced ratio. So at that time, there was this research question, is there really a ideal saturation ratio that could maximize crop yields? So that was the research question they were working on. These were some of the studies that were done in the past. The highlighted ones in the red are actually done at Ohio State University. So what did they find? So what did they find from that past research? And most of the research, I mean, like all the research was done exclusively on crop yields, like compare the ratios and what effect that ratios have on the crop yield. So what they found was there is no ideal ratio where crop yields are maximum. Absolutely, there is no relationship between the ratio and the yield. And it can result in excessive fertilizer applications because you are trying to maintain that optimal ratio. So even there are like sufficient amount of those nutrients in the soil, because that soil might have a ratio which is not optimal. So for trying to reach to that ratio, you're adding more fertilizer, right? So that could lead to excessive fertilizer applications. And they thought that build-up or sufficiency level approach, which is more commonly used, is far superior and is more economical. So the final conclusion was it's more important to maintain sufficient levels to meet crop needs instead to trying to achieve that favorable ratio. So why is there a present interest? I mean, past research has shown us that it's not working, crop yields are not increasing. Why is there still interest in that particular concept? It's a very contentious theory. Like, university scientists, they don't believe in this theory. They just reject this theory that it's not going to work. But farmers, crop consultants still believe. I mean, we did a research, nationwide survey of soil balancing and its effects, and we found like 76% of university people thought it's not going to work. But we sent out like on a general soil fertility team, 50% of, I'm pretty sure those are farmers or crop consultants, they came back and said soil balancing is working. So, and the most important takeaway from that survey is it's most appealing to organic farmers. organic farmers think that soil balancing really works for them. So the question is, why do these organic farmers embrace this concept? So the main reason is these three researchers from Ohio State, Sarah Zwickel, Wilson, and Doug Duhan, they did a survey in 2011, and they found out that 60% of organic farmers, mostly in Indiana and Ohio, they think that weeds are indicators of an imbalance in soil. So if you try to balance the soil, you can ease the weed problems and thereby increase the crop yield and increase the overall farm profitability. So what is the present research need on soil balancing? Right? Why do we have to do it? So we know that it's not going to work for in terms of crop yield, but the farmers think the other way, right? Farmers think that it's going to affect the weeds and it helps in improving the crop yield, like an indirect effect, and in turn it increases the profits for them. So these are all not tested. We tested crop yields, but we didn't test the effect of soil balancing on weeds, on most importantly soil health. So we are trying to answer those questions with this research. And we are trying to develop a common knowledge base. Say for example, if I'm a scientist and if a farmer, organic farmer comes to me and asks, okay, I want to practice soil balancing, can you help me? And if I don't know about that thing, about the concept or what advantages or disadvantages that particular thing has for a farmer, I can't help him, right? So we need to develop a common knowledge base. So the hypothesis was soil balancing doesn't have any significant effect on soil health, crops, or weeds. That's our study hypothesis. So we have what we are testing at Ohio State is using the soil balancing concept, we are testing crop yield and quality, soil health, all physical, chemical, and biological properties, most importantly weeds, weed pressure, and obviously farm profitability. So we are doing both manipulated on-station research trials, and we are doing research, the same research on farmer farms, farmer participatory on-farm trials, and we are also doing some greenhouse studies. So the main aim of using the greenhouse studies is to actually we wanted to control the calcium and magnesium ratios. So previously there was some research which showed that increase in magnesium saturation on the extent sites could result in destruction of soil structure. So we are using that greenhouse study to specifically target magnesium saturation and see how that affects soil structure. So we are doing both on-station and on-farm trials. We are doing on-station trials at three field sites, two are in Worcester, and they are all organically managed. We are using different soil amendments to either increase or decrease the calcium-magnesium ratio and also to adjust the pH. We are using high-cal lime, dolomitic lime, gypsum, Epsom, sulfur and potassium, just to supplement the fertilizer needs of the plants. And we are testing these on crops, field crops, corn, soybean, and small grains. And we are also doing this on horticultural crops like popcorn, edamame, and squash. And on-farm trials, we are doing in 20 farmer fields. Seven of them are vegetable farms, and 13 of them are organically managed, and they grow corn and soybean and small grains. And we are using only gypsum and microbial products because those are the common mix of amendments those organic farmers are using. And these two pictures are some of his research site. So we have three on-station sites, East Badger site, West Badger, they both are in Worcester, Herzl is in Northwest Ohio. They have different soil properties, and East Badger, we transitioned into organic farm in 2014, but West Badger was organic since 1998, and Herzl was organic since 2004. And the experiment was started in 2014 in East Badger, 15 in West Badger and Herzl sites. So we are collecting soil samples twice a year, and we are doing soil health tests in addition to soil mineral analysis, soil respiration, to test the microbial activity, permanganate oxidizable carbon, which is the readily available carbon, soil protein is the available organic nitrogen, aggregate stability, which is a soil physical measure, and microbial biomass. And crop measures include yield, obviously, tissue quality and grain quality, and we are testing vegetables and fruit yields and their quality, and most importantly we want to see weed counts or the weed biomass, how the treatments are affecting the weed counts or weed biomass. So I'm just going to present some preliminary results on this one. With respect to crop yields, this is the West Badger site. The top row is the corn and the bottom one is for soybean. So you can see the gray bars are the 2015 year and the orange bars are for the 2016 year. So for soybean, we didn't have a good crop in 2015 because the wheat pressure was so high, we couldn't get proper yield in soybean. So we are seeing some effects of treatments on the yield and in corn specifically, but not in soybean. So there are no effects of any treatments in soybean. So this is for East Badger corn. The top two graphs are for 2015 corn and soybean. So we didn't see any significant effect of any treatments in 2015. Again, in 2016, we just had soybean crop. We didn't have corn crop, again, because of the wheat pressure. Again, there is no significant difference of treatments on the crop yield. It's in Herzl, we just had corn in 2016. There were some technical issues in 2015, so we couldn't get a good harvest in 2015, but we got yield of corn in Herzl in 2016. And you can see the Epsom is kind of decreasing the yield. Epsom is magnesium sulfate, right? So it's kind it kicks the magnesium saturation to a high level. So I think that's what we think is happening. So high magnesium, like I said previously, could have a drastic effect on soil texture. Maybe that somehow influenced the yield production. Coming to labile organic nitrogen, we measured soil protein at all three sites. West Badger and Herzl, no effect of any treatments were seen with respect to the soil protein contents. But East Badger, we saw like lime treatment had the highest soil protein, maybe because of adjustment of soil pH by the addition of lime. And this is the labile organic carbon at all three sites. Again, West Badger and Herzl, treatments didn't have any effect on soil epoxy. But East Badger, the dolomitic lime, again, dolomitic lime is magnesium carbonate, calcium magnesium carbonate. So maybe magnesium is doing something here. That's a general trend what we are seeing here. So these are the wheat counts for all the three sites. You can see when we did the statistical analysis, we found no significant difference of between amendments with respect to wheat counts at all three sites, both broadleaves and grasses. So in summary, there are some site-specific effects of treatments with respect to yields and soil health measures. We didn't see any significant effect of treatments on wheat biomass, wheat counts. And we are into our third year of study, so we still have two more years for data collection analysis, and we think that will help us to better understand the effect of treatments. So this is the research team, Dr. Doug Duhan, he's the main PI, professor of weeds, and that's a big team there. And I would like to acknowledge our sponsors for this research, and that's all I have.